Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Matt Smith and James Marilat in for Stoke and Zach today. Well, the order for the first 24 picks in the NFL draft is locked in. The Broncos have the 9th overall pick. But news out of Houston is that one of these top picks may now be up for sale. Nick Caserio, general manager of the Houston Texans, joined Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Payne and Pendergast. And he was asked if he was open to trading 3rd overall.
Absolutely. Always open for business. You never want to limit yourself. I've always been open-minded when it comes to the draft. I think every team and every individual has a different philosophy. We're not going to trade. We're always going to pick. We're not going to move. I think we're a little bit more, always have been open-minded, progressively thinking, move up and down. And it's not just move to move. And I think trades specific to the draft are always driven by A, player availability, B, where are you moving, what are you moving away from, and then C, what are you getting in return in terms of asset that potentially could fill out the rest of your team. So we're rolling up our sleeves right now going through that draft process. I'd say there's a number of good players that will be available that we think will be available. But again, we're open for business on anything. I think that's the one thing about this organization, what people I'd say around the league know about me. They're not afraid that we'll always listen and we'll always consider, and then we'll take the information in, process it, and ultimately try to make the decision that we feel is best for our team.
Interesting stuff there from Houston Texans general manager Nick Caserio about being open for business. And it makes sense, James, because for a team that would be in need of a quarterback, which they are most certainly not in need of a quarterback, then trading the 3rd overall pick would possibly make sense in a draft that maybe doesn't have a ton of guys that jump off the page at you.
Sure. I mean, you know, I think...
Because as we know, they're set, right?
Right. I mean, they got Davis Mills. So
yeah.
I mean, what he said it makes sense, right? Like, yeah, we're open for business. I mean, of course they should be. And, the fact that he said most teams aren't or some teams are set and we're always going to stay where we're at.
Well, you got to make yourself look smarter.
Yeah, I'm not quite buying what he's – I think his approach to it is what almost everybody has. You know, they're sitting at number 3. So that's where the Niners trade.
Hey, Richie, will you pull up the menu at Outback Steakhouse for me? Can you pull up that menu at Outback?
That's where the Niners traded up to get Trey Lance. So to move from 12 to 9, the San Francisco gave up their first-round pick last year, this year, and next year, plus a 3 last year.
Right.
That was to get Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Is anybody going to give up that to trade up to get Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral, guys who, you know, according to Cecil and people who cover the draft, would not have been first-round picks a year ago?
Absolutely not.
No. So, you know, if somebody wants to offer him that, I'm sure Nick Caserio is open to business. I just don't think he's going to get that kind of mind-boggling trade.
Not this year.
I think
year.
If somebody wants to give up that, they may be able to go get Trey Lance from the Niners for that kind of a price tag, especially if the Niners keep winning.
Are you trying to Shanghai this into a Trey Lance segment? Is that what you're trying to do? Is that what's happening here?
But should the Broncos do that? No. I mean, if the Broncos want to take a quarterback, see if you can get lucky 2 years in a row and somebody falls to you at number 9.
So, we talk about what the Steelers wanted to do, and we had mentioned it, that they currently, I think they're going to sit, what is it, 19, Rich, that the Steelers are going to be at? I know that the draft order just got, yeah, it's right around there in the late teens, maybe early 20s. So the idea that they're just going to luck into a Kenny Pickett there, and obviously the report is that the Steelers are very interested in Kenny Pickett, seeing as that they share a facility with him, so they've gotten a chance to look at him and know him pretty well at this point. But it doesn't really happen, James, very often that, you know, teams just wait around at 19 and get the number one quarterback off the board. In fact, just during the break, I had Richie look this up for me. In 2013, it was the 13th overall pick, 16th overall pick. EJ Manuel was the first quarterback off the board. So that was the last time that we could think of the highest a quarterback, or the lowest, rather, a quarterback has been taken was 16th. So it really doesn't happen. So if teams are looking to move and somebody does love Pickett, somebody does love Corral, maybe even Carson Strong jumps into the mix with workouts and draft day and whatever else, whatever have you, it doesn't seem very likely that they're just going to wait around in the early 20s to get this guy.
No, 19 seems like way, way too late. You know, if you look at the six first-round quarterbacks who will be playing this coming week, five of them are top 10. Mahomes was five. Multiple ones were number one. Kind of the outlier was Aaron Rodgers, who fell all the way to 24. But yeah, they didn't. The Packers that year didn't have to draft a quarterback. It was just, my gosh, if we're sitting here and if this guy falls to us, we'll take him. If you need one, and the Steelers, by according to reports, their story is their plan is, hey, we want to draft a guy, get our quarterback in the future, and have somebody here to help bridge it, sort of like Tommy Maddox was the bridge to Big Ben.
Right.
Then, okay, but you're not going to wait at 19. They're going to have to move up to get Pickett. They're going to have to move up to get Corral, I would guess, into the top 10. But honestly, probably where the Broncos are sitting is maybe more where you need to go than where the Texans are sitting. I haven't seen a ton of mocks where either of those quarterbacks is going in the top three. Certainly, you know, one of them will go in the top 10, maybe even in the top five, but I don't know that you're going to have to pay the Kings ransom that the Niners did last year to trade up to get Trey Lance.
Yeah, because the two top players in this draft are pretty much widely considered Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan and Kayvon Thibodeau out of Oregon, two edge rushers. Outside of that, there's a lot of offensive linemen that you could see in that, you know, 1 to 10 range. Evan Neal, Alabama. Isn't there that kid from that DB from LSU, Stingley? Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Derek Stingley.
Yep.
Malik Willis obviously is a quarterback name, and we haven't even mentioned his name in this mix, so maybe somebody falls in love with him. Obviously, you're looking at teams that could be looking to upgrade in the quarterback position within the top 10. Jacksonville is out, obviously. They have their quarterback of the future. Detroit at second overall could surprise some people. Now, from the people I know in Detroit and the people who cover the Lions, they say that's not where they're headed. They think they're going to run it back with Jared Goff. Houston Texans, like we both know very well, James, that if it's not Deshaun Watson, they could have a potential starter moving forward in Davis Mills. So, yeah, maybe he's on the board. That's for sure. New York Jets, they're not giving up on Zach Wilson yet. So now we're at the fifth overall pick without having a quarterback, a team that is absolutely going to draft a quarterback. So, you know, fifth overall is the Giants, I guess, if they want to move on from Daniel Jones, and maybe now that they fired their GM and their head coach, that they want to rebuild things, and maybe they don't love Daniel Jones, so they want to take somebody. Doubt it happens there. I would imagine they try and upgrade offensive line to get, you know, to try and revive that with Saquon. Then we get to six at the Panthers, and there are a lot of rumors out there that the Panthers will be quarterback interested at six, James.
Yeah, and they should be. So if you're looking at it and you're, you know, if you're the Broncos and you want to get your guy, or if you're the Steelers, which is kind of how this conversation came up, and you want to get your guy, well, you got to get in the top five because there's somebody, not that any of them are worthy of the top five pick, but there's a team at number six who is quarterback desperate and tried the reclamation project with Sam Darnold. It didn't work. Tried Teddy Bridgewater 2 years ago. It didn't work. So they'll probably draft a quarterback. So you're going to have to jump up in there and maybe overpay to get a guy. Would the Broncos be willing to do that? I don't know. I don't feel like they love either one of these guys enough at this point, but things happen with the combine, with pro days. You know, you get to see them up close and personal. And every year somebody's stock, you know, goes through the roof because they had a really good day throwing in shorts and a T-shirt. So
that name, I think, is going to be Carson Strong this year. Just my sure. Gut feeling.
Yeah. I could see that.
Nevada's quarterback.
I'm just not sure.
For those who don't know.
Is Carson Strong? I mean, it's an unknown, right? Yeah. And that's always exciting. But is Carson Strong really a better option in 2022 than Drew Lock? Is he?
No, not even close. No, he's not.
And so, you know, we're comparing, you know, maybe two bad options there.
Yes, we are comparing two. There's no maybe about it.
Would Kenny Pickett be a better option? Yes. Would Matt Corral be a better option? Yeah. So if that's what you want to do, and the fact that the Steelers, that's their plan, one of the most well-run organizations in all of sports, certainly.
But you're just talking about for next year, for wins for next year.
Sure. Sure.
Moving forward, no. Carson Strong, I'd rather kick the tires on because he's an unknown. We know what we have in Drew Lock.
I don't know that we do.
Okay. I knew you were going to say it, which is why I had to say that.
So. I know, but it's like he played for Vic Fangio.
Let's not get down the rabbit hole too hard here.
I just have a hard time throwing it out. I would be more interested to see with, hey, a supportive head coach and a creative OC, what do you got there than Carson Strong? But that's I don't feel that way about Matt Corral. I don't feel that way about Kenny Pickett. I'm ready to turn the page and move on. But I think the lesson to be learned here is, what are the Steelers doing?
Yes.
And the Steelers aren't saying, hey, let's go get Kirk Cousins. Let's go get Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's go get Tyrod Taylor and try and bridge the gap because we were a playoff team. They're not going down that path, and that's been the mistake the Broncos have made for 5 straight years, maybe 6. Really, it was 6 because they tried to do it with Mark Sanchez, and when that didn't work out, they had to go with Trevor. So for 6 straight years, the Broncos have tried to go down that path, and it hasn't worked with a number of quarterbacks, a number of head coaches, and a number of OCs. The Steelers get it because that's what well-run organizations do.
Well, the Broncos coaching search 2022 rolls on. It is day 9. They have 2 candidate interviews today. Who are they, and do we like these candidates? James and I will get into those next.
I'm not into Drew Lock.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Matt Smith and James Marilat filling in for Zach and Stoke today. Stoke still with Evans in the morning as Mark Schlereth is returning from his humanitarian trip around the world here soon.
This cruise is longer than anything Magellan went on.
I think so. He sailed the ocean blue.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Zach today. Thoughts are with Zach as his daughter's undergoing a little bit of a procedure. We expect Zach tomorrow back with us, which will be good to see. James, the Broncos coaching search 2022 is on day 9 now, and the search committee is in Dallas, where they will interview Cowboys offensive coordinator Kellen Moore and Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn. Now, we got into Quinn a little bit earlier, and we'll circle back, but let's talk about Kellen Moore a little bit. The fan poll that we ran, it was pretty glaring that fans don't approve of Kellen Moore, whether be it his age or the fact that he called a quarterback draw with 14 seconds and no timeouts left in a playoff game trying to go win it. But let's take one play aside. What do you think about Kellen Moore? And, as we've been talking about, I brought up that I've had a change of heart here and that I really firmly believe that the next coach of the Broncos has to be a dynamic offensive mind. I, under that theory, don't hate the idea of Kellen Moore.
Well, he certainly is a dynamic offensive mind. I mean, the Cowboys struggled this weekend. The last play call turned out to be a disaster. But they led the league in scoring this year. They averaged 31 points a game. So clearly he knows what he's doing. Now he's a lot to work with down there. He's got Dak Prescott. He's got Zeke. He's got Pollard. He's got Cooper. He's got CeeDee Lamb. Until the end of the year, he had Michael Gallup. I mean, they are loaded with offensive weapons. So, he'll come here and he'll have some guys that we all think have some potential, but he won't have players that accomplished, and he certainly won't have Dak Prescott. So, That would be the concern. The other part of it is when you look at Kellen Moore and you listen to Kellen Moore, George Payton told us this is all about leadership. And I don't know that Kellen Moore right now has the skill set to command the room when he just – I mean, look, appearance shouldn't matter, but he looks like he's 14. So is he going to come in here and command a room full of, NFL players and – steer them back in the right direction when things inevitably start to go awry during the season, as they always do with every team? There's always a rough patch. Like, is he the guy to do that? That would be my concern. But, if you're looking to jumpstart the Broncos offense, would Kellen Moore be a good candidate for that? Sure. Would I like to see what Kellen Moore could do with this exact same group, from offensive line to receivers to Noah Fant to, Javonte Williams to even Drew Lock? Yeah, it'd be a heck of a lot better than what we saw this year.
Well, there's no debate there. Yeah, so, I certainly would too.
So, yeah, I would be able to get on board with Kellen Moore. I would have some concerns, and there are some Josh McDaniels similarities here, right, where it's, boy wonder coming in, and he's going to right the ship, but I don't think he's coming in, with the Bill Belichick you know, sort of experience and trying to be, you know, little Bill. And McDaniels went awry because also Jim and Jeff Goodman got bounced like 2 months after McDaniels came in here, and all of a sudden he was running the entire show, which was a huge mistake. If Kellen Moore's job is to come in and be the head coach, fix this offense, and get a defensive coordinator who can, you know, keep that thing rolling along, okay, I think it could work. I don't know that it's a better than 50-50 chance, but it could work.
Yeah, it's an interesting name, that's for sure. And I think meeting with a guy like Kellen Moore, I was listening to some local reports on him throughout the last week and a half, and I remember one specifically that was talking about what he was like during his college recruitment process. And I remember a couple different recruiters saying that he actually came in as a high school quarterback and handed them a playbook full of different ideas of stuff that he wanted to try. So this has always been in his blood. He's always wanted to be an NFL head coach. He's wanted to be a guy to create dynamic offensive systems. Of course, as a player, he was at Boise State. He was the Heisman finalist on that 2010 Boise State team. As a player, he played for the Lions and then, of course, the Cowboys, a few years as a backup. In 2018, he finally got his first coaching job as the QB's coach there. And in 2019, he was promoted to OC, a position he has held for the last several years. Certainly a name on several different radars this offseason.
Yeah, here would be my only worry about Kellen Moore. And this may be unfair, but a lot of times these former quarterbacks fall in love with having quarterbacks run their system who were just like them. And I have no interest in a Kellen Moore type quarterback.
You mean like a John Elway? Do you think John Elway might have done that? Like,
well, John
big,
Elway
strong guys?
Should have done that. John Elway should have done that and drafted Josh Allen.
Oh, he tried. No, he tried to do that earlier with some bigger, stronger guys.
But look at Gary Kubiak in Houston. Matt Schaub, TJ Yates, guys that he could look at him and see himself. Never anybody that was like, oh, my God, that guy can do unbelievable things on the field. Nope, he's smart. He's good at the whiteboard. He can run my system. And why did he go with Trevor Siemian in 2016? Because he was smart, good at the whiteboard, and could run his system. And Gary Kubiak saw himself in Trevor Siemian. You know, Trevor was a seventh-round pick. I think Gary was a sixth-round pick. And you know what? Trevor actually is going to turn into Gary Kubiak. He's going to be a long-time backup in this league. He's going to come in and you know, when he has to finish a half, he'll be fine. But if he has to play an extended period of time, four or five games, he's going to get exposed. And then he'll probably be a coach if he wants to after he's done. It's just, you know, is Kellen Moore going to come in here and have learned from, hey, we're pretty good when we have Dak Prescott. We're not very good when we have Andy Dalton. Or is he going to come in here and think, I need me. I need me on the field running my system. That would be a concern for me.
Yeah, this is the second coaching cycle which Kellen Moore has gotten offers. He apparently has been contacted by the Vikings on the CBSSports.com website, by the way, under Kellen Moore Tracker. It says status interview conducted for the Broncos. So apparently the Broncos have already conducted the Kellen Moore segment of the day. That went kind of quick.
So he was first. Well, they got to get two done today.
Yeah, of course. Well, he was first, and then Dan Quinn is tonight.
Yeah, and Dan Quinn is the safe pick. He is. He's the safe pick. And if we've seen anything with George Payton, he likes to go with the safe option. He said it when he drafted Pat Surtain. And you know what? Pat Surtain's a heck of a player. He is. But sometimes you got to swing for the fences, and a quarterback might have been a better idea there. Micah Parsons might have been a better idea there. There's probably a better coach amongst this 10 than Dan Quinn, but there are a heck of a lot of them that are going to be worse. So Dan Quinn, if you're just looking to say, you know, slow and steady.
So you're thinking because George Payton has in the past shown an ability, you know, shown a proclivity to maybe play it safe with what you consider a safe pick at nine with Surtain, that maybe we might see him favor Quinn.
Yeah, I think I think he's shown that history during his time here. I think Minnesota, when he was there, operated very much that way. You know, the Kirk Cousins contract was a big contract, but you know, Mike Zimmer, that wasn't a swing for the fences hire. That was a very safe hire, you know, conservative pick. I just think if you're trying to handicap this thing, I think George Payton's history is play it safe. And of the options, again, he's not going to be the best. There's going to be somebody on here that's going to go on, whether it's Nathaniel Hackett, Brian Callahan, Kevin O'Connell, somebody is going to go on and, you know, win a Super Bowl. And Dan Quinn maybe won't. But there are going to be a few of these too. Luke Getsy, or heck, maybe some of those other guys I just mentioned, who are going to be complete disasters. And I don't think Dan Quinn's going to be a complete disaster.
So Kellen Moore has interviewed with the Broncos. He has interviewed with the Jaguars. He has interviewed or been requested by Minnesota and Miami. So he will definitely have some competition. I tell you, the team I would watch for Kellen Moore, and I know they've been tied to some other guys, is Jacksonville. I think you pair him with Trevor Lawrence and let the two of them grow together. I think that's a fantastic fit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. If you're just looking at, hey, who's currently there, and it's a guy that will be entering his second year, so you have all kinds of time to develop him, make it work. It's a dynamic offensive mind with the number one overall pick. You know, Jacksonville would be looking at that saying, all right, Kellen Moore's going to come in and be our Zach Taylor. Trevor Lawrence is already our Joe Burrow. Let's see if we can make that work down here.
Yeah, it took the words right out of my mouth. We saw what happened there for Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow, and we've heard what Joe Burrow has said about Zach Taylor and their relationship that, you know, having Zach Taylor as a former quarterback, they can both kind of see things the same way, and it allows them a different level of communication on the same page. So for a young guy, that certainly helped Burrow get comfortable with the league.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, my concern about how, hey, a former quarterback may want to try and have somebody just like himself. It doesn't always go that way, but that is just something we have seen that pattern here, and I think it's something that you want to be confident you're gonna break from. It can't be, hey, my system is so great that a journeyman guy who just knows exactly what the right reads are all the time can succeed in it. That would be a, hey, thanks, Kellen. You know, why don't you grab a muffin on your way out? We gotta talk to Dan.
So Dan Quinn is the over dinner interview tonight for the Broncos, interviewing the Cowboys defensive coordinator.
If you get dinner, I think you're higher on the list than if you get lunch.
Well, didn't Luke Getsy get dinner? Isn't that how that worked out? Luke Getsy was Friday night in the hotel conference room, and then the morning it was Hackett. I thought that's what it was. So maybe that's interesting there as well. So Dan Quinn obviously is the leading favorite. We've heard from several different reports, but I had mentioned to you earlier that, look, D-Mac was right. D-Mac was certainly
I tell you the truth.
Yeah, see? He was right. I think it's Nathaniel Hackett. I'm on Team Hackett. I'm all about that Hackett racket at this point. I think the guy has a lot of motivational energy. I think he's very uplifting. I think he's a very smart football mind. He has designed plays. He's called plays before. He's demonstrated the ability to have success in multiple stops. I like this guy, man.
You know what? Here's what I will say about him. I like the fact that he's found a way to be successful two different ways, right?
Like,
you know, yeah, you're winning with Aaron Rodgers and you're finding a way to, you know, put up, you know, Star Wars numbers. That's great. But you mentioned it earlier. He was able to build a successful offense in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles. Now, he didn't make Blake Bortles great, but they had a really good defense, and then they were the number one running team in the league. So it's sort of the old Don Shula thing, right? When you got Zonka, Kick, and Morris, you run the ball. When you got Dan Marino, you throw it.
Or if you got Marshawn Lynch, you run it, right?
Right. I like the fact that he's been able to do it both ways and figure that out versus some of these other guys. You know, it's always been kind of one path and their system. I don't want a guy that wants to force square peg into round hole. I want a guy who can come in here and go, all right, what are my pieces? I'm on an episode of Chopped. What's in the basket, and how do I make something good out of it? That's what I want out of the next head coach.
James Merrillat, a round peg, round hole guy. You heard it here first. Does George Payton have a blueprint for the solution at quarterback that's possibly right in front of him? Dive into that conversation next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Matt Smith and James Merrillat in for Stoke and Zach today. James, we were talking about whether or not George Payton has a blueprint in front of him, but something more pressing at the moment has come up. It appears that there is a mass exodus among the University of Colorado football team, James, at this point in time.
For sure. It seems like on a daily basis someone is entering the transfer portal.
Today it is Dimitri Stanley, of course, former Cherry Creek star who went on to have some pretty good success and displayed a lot of potential and then was one of many players underutilized on the offensive side of the ball this year as the Buffs, I think, finished second to last in the entire country in total offense. But that makes Jarek Broussard, former Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year, Brendan Rice, of course, son of Jerry Rice, and probably the most talented player on that team. He is now gone. He picked USC today. Stanley is gone. They lost three of their top four defensive backs on that team. Is this more CU James to you, or is this more the NIL era kind of showing its teeth?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Agreed.
We'll see if there's any of this, you know, that goes the other way of, hey, who enters the transfer portal and comes to CU?
They got a receiver from Baylor, RJ Sneed, yesterday. So that was a nice little pickup they did.
Okay, so, you know, it's turning into a bit of a two-way street versus it sort of feels like it's a fire hose just going one direction. But I think it's both. I mean, CU, it's not an easy place to try to build a winner, especially in today's day and age with the NIL stuff. But you're in a market up there and at a school where a large percentage of the administration and the people that work there would prefer you didn't have a football team. And you're in a city where the feeling is pretty similar, right? Like if you contrast that to what you have in Lincoln, Nebraska, where everybody's on board, like it's just different in Boulder. So that's
there's a lot more things to do in Boulder, Colorado than there are in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Sure.
Outside of get drunk.
That's part of it though, but nobody, like nobody's not a fair comment, but the percentage of people, you know, that are around the program, other than people in the athletic department, but just the rest of the atmosphere, the rest of the community there, it's one of the things Mike Bone did that I thought was exceptional was he did start to bridge that gap and connect with the community and the, you know, the parade they would do on Friday nights down Pearl Street with the band and
the pep rally. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that stuff may sound silly, but there was no connection and it's still not great. And so if you're not connected to the community, that eliminates a lot of those NIL opportunities just because, you know, that there aren't people that are willing to, you know, have players be their endorsers or put up Instagram stuff or whatever these guys are doing to make some money. There's just less opportunities when you're in a market where the school, other than the athletic department and the community at large, aren't really behind the program. It just is it's less opportunities and it puts them at a huge disadvantage.
I also think it's an indictment of the current coach in place in Carl Durrell. If you're losing your top guys, it's not like, you know, they've lost some guys who haven't played a ton, but they're losing their top players. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Okay, so quickly, James, this blueprint here, 9 of the 14 quarterbacks in a postseason, first round draft picks. Does that mean Peyton has to go take a first round pick at quarterback?
I think eventually to find your guy, you have to, right? Like the ones that weren't drafted, it's the Rams. They traded for Matthew Stafford. All right, so you have to find a team that finally waves the white flag after wasting a number one overall pick for a decade. San Francisco, oh, you have to find a guy who's sitting behind the greatest quarterback of all time when he was in New England and Tom Brady, and they want to trade him. Tennessee's an interesting one. That's more of a reclamation project, right? They got Ryan Tannehill after it didn't work out in Miami, so maybe there's an opportunity there. And then free agency, oh, it's Tom Brady hit the open market. Sort of like when Peyton Manning did. It's a unicorn. So it's really a 1 in 14 that is something you could go do that isn't draft-related, and that's what they did with Tannehill in Tennessee. But if you made me rank the quarterbacks left, Tannehill's probably at the bottom, if not the bottom. So I still don't think that's the route. Eventually, you have to draft your guy, and you have to find him that way. You have to, and it almost always has to be a first-round pick.
Do you think that is the route that the Broncos should go this year?
This is where I lean toward Mike Evans versus D-Mac, because D-Mac's right. You do have to draft a guy, and you have to draft him in a first round. But you don't
no,
do it.
If, God, please, no!
You don't do it if you don't love him, right? Like
right.
Last year.
And you and I agree there completely.
Yeah, so, you know, I would have taken Justin Fields. I would have. This year,
Richie says you can't fall in love if you don't take a chance.
This is true. But if Matt Corral or Kenny Pickett fell to him at 9, I would take him. But I'm not going to move up to get one of those guys because I don't love them. But if they're just sitting there and you take them over another cornerback, yeah, you take him and you take your chances. But you don't mortgage your future. You don't sell the farm, whatever other cliche I can come up with. For somebody that you don't love. But yeah, you got to draft one. At some point, you got to swing. Yeah. Celine. No, I was going to say Celine. This is Whitney.
Please.
Okay. Little Bodyguard. I was mixing up my 90s movies.
The Bodyguard. Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston. Who could forget? A classic.
Video. We can all picture it in our minds right now. It's Whitney sitting in that chair, kind of looking down and then looking up and hitting the big note. I'm telling you got it in your mind right now. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I certainly do. Well, the Broncos ownership situation has changed a little bit from what we all thought. How did it change and what effect that may have on how this thing plays out? James and I will dive into that next.
Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Matt Smith and James Merrillat filling in for Stoke and Zach today. Stokely still with Evans in the morning, and Zach, of course, will be back tomorrow, we expect. We were having a very interesting conversation off air here, James. You were having it with Richie, and then I was separately having it with Richie. Adele is just amazing, isn't she?
I know, talking about a random wormhole, but we were playing Whitney, right?
That's where it stemmed from.
Yeah, and we're talking about what an amazing voice she had and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then it was the modern day equivalent. And Richie put it well. It's like she's a huge megastar, so this sounds funny, but I don't think she gets the credit she deserves. Is Adele. She's just unbelievable. Like, her voice is ridiculous. So, yeah, I think we're all in agreement on that one in two different conversations.
Yeah, her range is just nuts. How she can be so powerful yet so fragile is just incredible. And that wraps up the Adele Hour here on 104.3 The Fan today.
I won tickets to get to go to an Adele concert, and we wound up fourth row down on the floor at Pepsi Center. Like, she was right there in front of us, and it was one of the most unbelievable, amazing things I've ever seen. Now, because I think you
baptized
gotta go,
by music.
Oh, it was incredible. But you got to go into these things with like an open mind, right? Like, may not be a big fan of cello music, but I'm guessing if I'm sitting there listening to Yo Yo Ma, did he play the cello? I think I got that right. I'm guessing it would be pretty awesome. I'm not a big fan of, you know, Broadway musicals necessarily. But when I was working for the Broncos and we did a road trip to New York to play the Jets, they took all the staff to go see Les Mis, and we're sitting like fifth row right in the middle. It was amazing. So, you know, you got to appreciate greatness.
Yeah, Richie and I were saying that. I think personally, we both, at least, I think singing is one of the coolest talents you can have. Like, to be a really great vocalist, that's special. That's a special gift.
It's like, well, partially too, because it's something I can't do at all.
Oh, of course. Exactly. That's exactly why.
So I just marvel at people who can do it. It's like, man, that is an unbelievable talent. I'm with you.
Yeah, it certainly is. So the Broncos ownership situation that we thought we had figured out, at least, the things we thought we knew are no longer the things that we now know. Peyton Manning and John Elway allegedly are not tied to any existing ownership group at the moment, per a report from Mike Kliss this weekend. However, John Elway has begun his public campaign to be a minority owner for the Denver Broncos.
Well, and here's the line from Elway that I think is the key here. It's, quote, "I'm not formally engaged with one certain group or another." And the key word is formally. Yeah, I don't think it's official with him.
We played golf.
Any of the groups, right.
Right.
Or even with Peyton in any of the groups, because if that group doesn't win out, you don't want to be left out again like Peyton was in Carolina. So maybe, you know, you learn a little bit, a little something from that experience. But I think to think that they haven't had conversations, they don't know, hey, if it's one of these two, three, four groups, I got a shot of being involved. If it's one of these two, three, or four, maybe it's John. Then this other group here, I'm no shot. Like, I clearly think each of them knows the landscape. I certainly believe Peyton does because he's been active in this before. It's clear he and his family want to be part of owning a team. They took their shot with the Panthers. So I don't think
his shot. That wasn't necessarily formally the entire family.
Sure. But I don't think this news that came out, you know, in the last couple of days means that neither one of them is going to be involved. I think it just means, hey, you can't attach Manning to Bezos and Elway to Anschutz, just picking random names.
Right, right.
I don't think it's that. I think it's more of a, hey, they're gonna play the free agency game here and pick their spot.
So let's talk about what that does mean as far as this ownership situation is concerned, okay? What's interesting about the ownership situation is if that's not the case, then it's going to be some single sole billionaire most likely coming in and winning the bid with the highest bid, of course, because this will be put up for auction, and with the Boland Trust, the trust has a responsibility to provide its beneficiaries with the most return for the trust, the most value. And so essentially the Broncos are going to be sold to the highest bidder. There's a lot of people that there's a lot of people that wanted Peyton. There's a lot of people that did not want Elway. Then there's a little pocket of Broncos fans that would like to see John back. But there's also this other group that is intrigued by the idea of an unknown billionaire, Person X, we'll call him. What are your thoughts on that? And what if, you know, does it matter that it's not Peyton or John?
I don't think it matters, but there's a certain group of people that they're almost taking door number three on let's make a deal, right? It doesn't matter what's in front of them. They just can't help but think that the new car is behind door number three, so they take the gamble.
Coughlin's law. Anything else right. is always better.
Exactly. It's the same idea with draft picks, right? Like, you know, let's trade Jay Cutler to Chicago because we got two number ones. Well, yeah, it turned out to be, you know, Robert Ayers and Alphonso Smith. So how'd that turn out? You know, it's the unknown. It could turn out to be great. If neither one of them is involved, I don't think that's a bad thing. They could end up with, you know, the best owner in the league and neither one of them is involved. So that's fine. I do think it should make Broncos country feel a little bit more comfortable if either one of them is involved, because that would show that the new owner, you know, wants to try and make a connection to Broncos country immediately. I think it would be a smart, savvy move to do it, particularly Peyton Manning, because right now Peyton Manning's name is gold. And John Elway's name in this town, and this is weird because it's never been the case, but his name is kind of mud here at the moment. It like 90% of people would rather have Peyton Manning than John Elway involved with it, and a lot of that is the last 5 years haven't been very good around here. He missed on Kyle Shanahan. He missed on Josh Allen. I think they're looking at it saying, hey, a new set of eyes would be good. Plus, John has kind of been disengaged. He's been an absentee GM. He's ready to be retired. He wants to go play golf and gallivant to Palm Springs and Coeur d'Alene and Tahoe, which is fine, but don't be in a position where you have responsibilities and then not want to do them. So I think people are just kind of I think a large percentage of Broncos country is over having John Elway involved with the Broncos, which is a shocking statement, but I think that's where we are at this point.
The what have you done for me lately crowd is yeah. certainly not high yeah. on John Elway. And I don't blame them either. I don't want him involved whatsoever. I said before this coaching search, I said I don't even want him in the room, quite frankly. And I'm so glad that he's not in the room, and I'm so glad that Joe Ellis is not in the room so that this franchise can begin anew with a new chapter and a new direction, with a new vision. Because if there's one thing that we have come to learn about George Payton is he's going to go through things thoroughly. And he's going to take his time. So that is also why I don't expect some sort of early announcement on the Broncos' next head coach. I would expect it next Monday.
Yeah, and you know, John is more of a, you know, scramble at the last second and try and pull it out. He's yeah, a wing-it yeah. type of a guy, right?
He is.
And look, it's not that it hasn't worked well for him in his life.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it made him a great player, a dynamic player. It made him a really good GM in his first 4 or 5 years on the job. But eventually that mentality catches up to you. Peyton Manning is more of the, you know, have every I dotted, T crossed, know the plan, know every contingency. He's that type of a person. So I think when things aren't working out, you tend to want to go the other direction. So wing it, scramble. No, thank you. Let's go with buttoned up and dotting all I's, crossing all T's.
Circling back on our Broncos coaching search discussion here, James, what's your real take on Nathaniel Hackett? We talked earlier and I'd mentioned that I've got a change of heart and we'll be joined here in a few minutes. I imagine the boys will be rolling in here to the studio any minute now and D-Mac might feel a little bit more vindicated. I'm on board with Nathaniel Hackett. I'm full steam ahead. I think out of all the candidates on this list, I think this guy brings, first of all, the most experience, the most success at different stops, the most fire out of the ones on my list. The other unknown here is Eric Bieniemy. So give me your thoughts on those two guys and how they relate to this coaching search, James.
I would be fine with either one of them. I have a couple of concerns with Nathaniel Hackett. One, he's never done the job before. It doesn't mean he can't, but that's a you know,
neither have nine
concern.
Other guys on this list.
I get it. Neither have a bunch of the guys that are still coaching. Zach Taylor hadn't, Matt LaFleur hadn't, that are still, their seasons are still going on. Sean McDermott, it doesn't eliminate it, but it is a concern. It's the unknown.
Look, it would be easier for Nathaniel Hackett if we had gotten Aaron Rodgers like Mark Schlereth told us that we would have on draft night.
It was getting close.
Back against the wall is when I do some of my best work, James.
Yep, that was easy. But speaking of Aaron Rodgers, you can't make this move based on you think it's going to help you get Aaron Rodgers. They have to be mutually exclusive.
And that's not why I want this to happen.
Okay,
I don't appreciate that.
But if you're the Broncos, that would be silly. I do think,
agreed.
And as we've kind of talked about it through the course of the show, I do like the fact that Nathaniel Hackett has had success. Hey, when we're going to chuck it all over the yards because we got Aaron Rodgers, and when we're going to be the best running game in football because our quarterback is Blake Bortles, I like that flexibility and the ability to get it done multiple ways. I think that is good. I do think, though, we can't just, when we're looking at someone like Dan Quinn, we can't just focus on his negatives. He also helped build the Legion of Doom in Seattle. Broncos know that well. He was on the sideline or in the booth. He was calling the defense in the 43-8 game. He got Atlanta, who hadn't done anything before he got there and hadn't done anything since he left, got them to a Super Bowl. He brought in Kyle Shanahan. Like, there are some positives on his resume. A lot of negatives, too. Not a lot. There are some negatives, too. Eric Bieniemy, his stock went up for me this weekend. I know that sounds silly.
Really?
But just the things they did and the fact that it didn't start good for the Chiefs by any means. I think their first six drives was a bunch of punts, scoop and score, just filled with mistakes. And then, they adjusted to what the Steelers were doing. Boy, there's a novel concept, right? Adjusting on the fly in the game. And then scored a touchdown on six consecutive possessions after that. Their creativity, their ability to week after week after week figure out, well, how are they taking away Tyreek? How are they taking away Kelsey? And then find a way to still get them the football, I thought was good. Same thing that you see with Brian Callahan up in Cincinnati, right? Like, everybody wants to take away Ja'Marr Chase. They find a way to still get him the football. Those are attributes that I like. I just love the creativity that we saw this weekend out of a bunch of teams. But Kansas City's at the top of that list with the, Kelsey throwing a touchdown, the underhand throw in the red zone from Mahomes. That was impressive. So I would be fine with either one of those candidates. And actually, I think Broncos country.
You think Broncos country is going to be fine with Eric Bieniemy? Because, I don't know, there's a lot of people around here that have definitely been questioning why this guy has not gotten a job yet, clearly. I mean, there's got to be something that NFL teams are seeing in these interviews. And by the way, you're listening to KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. I knew you were scrambling for time.
You had a hot 5 minutes there with the Mark Schlereth smear campaign.
I'm firing on a Tuesday.
The legal ID. You didn't quite Stokely me.
No, I didn't.
Just interrupt me in the middle. Like, you interrupted my thought.
I did, but I waited for you to be done talking.
No, the problem was I wasn't. Like, this used to be, if you can ramble long enough, you can win it. But that's okay.
It's okay. It's all right. I'm new to the game.
The rules have changed. So
D-Mac belittled me last time, so I felt like I had to step up my game here. By the way, he's sitting in the booth now.
Yeah, because it's D-Mac. The stupidest tradition we have that people are into at the radio station by far.
Apparently.
There's no doubt about it.
I tried not to subscribe to it. I was really trying to stay above it, but apparently I got drugged down in the mud, and I won today.
It fascinates me that it has become a thing, but it officially has become a thing. I shake my head every day at it, but I recognize its importance.
Yeah. I do think, though, just to finish up the Eric
finish
Bieniemy
your thought before that, I had to stab you in there.
We did get to see a little bit of what Eric Bieniemy is like as a head coach when he was the co-head coach in Boulder. And that was a disaster. I mean, they went 1-11.
Of course. Oh, a disaster.
And their only win was a 35-34 win at Washington State that came down to the final play of the game. They were one play away from going 0-12. That should be a
the
concern.
Goal line push against Wazoo.
Yeah,
but in all fairness, James, we heard what you were like as a radio host at another radio station, and look at you now.
This is fair.
I mean,
right?
It has improved so dramatically.
Yeah, I agree.
Sometimes it's the surroundings, and
sometimes it is
the people you get to work with. So that is a fair and accurate point.
By the way, D-Mac, did you happen to catch that I have come around now? I'm on the Hackett racket now.
He makes the most sense.
I had a change of heart last night, and it's Nate Hackett is my number one choice.
Yeah, it's not that it would be terrible with Dan Quinn. I don't think it'd be the nightmare scenario that our pal Mark Kisla wrote up about today, but But the concept, and our guy Raj, I got to give him credit. I was talking to him over the weekend. He did point out, well, what if it does work? Now, what happens? And the problem is when you're a defensive guy and your offensive guy does work, well, your offensive guy is gone. And then it's a roll of the dice, as we saw with Dan Quinn, as James wrote about. I think that was you that wrote about it, James.
It was a collaborative effort.
A collaborative. I was wondering why there's no specific name on the article.
Yeah,
but
I didn't want to take credit.
But as was written on DenverFan.com, Dan Quinn has been, you know, he got a little hit or miss, right? With Sarkisian and then with, help me out, who was after Sarkisian?
It was Dirk Cutter. Former Bronco candidate to be the head coach when they hired John Fox.
So you got to go down the line of like, well, if the Shanahan system worked, right, why didn't you just hire LaFleur or McDaniel, I guess, were the two at the time. And that does appear to be a massive mistake. And so why even bother with that in the first place? Why not just take an offensive coach if he contains all the same values, and then you can keep the same system, and off you go, and you roll the dice of replacing defensive coordinators, not offensive coordinators. However, there's a complication to all of this, and that is the shift of culture that may be needed, because it might be deeper than just calling plays and managing things. It may be everything in the building, and to that degree, maybe Dan Quinn is the most qualified right now, as John Fox was the most qualified back then, just not to get to that championship level. So, again, I see how it could work either way. I have nothing but respect for Dan Quinn, but if you put the proverbial gun to my head, I would probably choose an offensive guy too, James.
Yeah, I mean, what we've seen the last 5 years, I mean, since Kubiak left, they actually had a decent offense with Trevor Siemian in 2016, but what we've seen the last 5 years, man, if they go a defensive guy, even if it's Dan Quinn, a lot of it's going to be, if you're going to sell it to the fan base, who's your offensive coordinator? Is it Mike McDaniel coming over here because he gets to call plays? That's going to be the key to it. It's a package deal if you go with a defensive-minded head coach after the disasters we've had on the offensive side of the ball with VJ and Vic, and after we all watch the weekend of football where it's all about offense. It is. There's not a dominant defense that went out this weekend and won games. It was who had the best quarterbacks and who could move the ball up and down the field. That's how you win in today's league. So you can't keep zagging just when everybody's zigging.
Hey, before we get out of here real quick, what did you boys think of this episode of 1883? I haven't had a chance to watch yet.
Oh, I don't want to spoil it for people, but it was...
I haven't had a chance to watch it either, so don't spoil it. Was it good or bad?
It's good.
It was good?
Yeah, don't worry about D-Bag. It's okay. Great.
Yeah.
I'm on to Cobra Kai, guys.
Cobra Kai. Right. They had the school battle, and I lost after that. Unfortunately, 1883 is turning into like a Lifetime show instead of like...
There's not enough action for you. There's a little bit too much story.
D-Bag doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right. Too melodramatic, too predictable.
This one was all about love. This one was all about love.
Oh, my God.
You didn't see in the West.
I'm not going to try to ruin it, but you didn't see that coming like a mile down the Meadow.
Of course I did. Okay. As you do in all great movies and shows. You see all the good stuff coming down the road.
All right.
I'm going to get out of here. You guys have a good one. This was Matt Smith and James Merrillat filling in for Zach and Stokes. Zach is back tomorrow. By the way, last thought, say some good prayers for Zach and his family today.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.